They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Bank of America wants to charge you to use your debit card.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Starting tomorrow, as part of the financial reform law, large banks will have to cut transaction fees they charge store owners for swiping debit cards. And one bank already has a plan to make up the difference, a plan that involves some extra cash from you and me. Here's our Washington Bureau Chief, John Dimsdale.
Bank of America just tacked a $5 fee on debit card accounts. Wells Fargo, SunTrust, and Chase are among the banks trimming their debit card rewards, and others are charging for a printed monthly statement.
Free checking as we know it is becoming harder and harder to find.
Bill Hartikoff heads the consumer credit website lowcards.com. He says consumers will be buffeted between banks raising fees on debit cards and merchants offering incentives to use them over credit cards.
You will see the retailers suggesting when you reach into your wallet, hey, is that a debit card you're using? Just punch in your PIN number right there.
Banks say stores may not pass on their windfall, but Matt Arnold, a retail analyst with Edward Jones, says competition will take care of that.
All it takes is one retailer to lower their price and pass through the lower swipe fee, and the others are pretty much forced to follow suit.
Pretty soon, stores could be offering discounts or even faster checkout lines for debit card users. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Well, now to the number one issue in America, jobs. Experts have been scratching their heads trying to figure out how to get people back to work, and our next guest has some ideas. She is Democrat Jennifer Granholm, who wrapped up two terms as governor of Michigan in January. She was governor during the collapse and rebirth of the American auto industry, and she's just written a book about her experience called A Governor's Story, The Fight for Jobs and America's Economic Future. She's with us now here in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I want to start with a moment early on in your governorship. The Michigan economy is starting to get worse, and this big company, Electrolux, decides to move one of its factories down to Mexico.
We went to Electrolux, and they're in a very tiny town of 8,000, but they employ 2,700 people. We had to keep it. It would have been like a nuclear bomb going off. So we said, we're going to put everything we have on the table, including tax-free 20 years, including helping to build them a new factory. The workers offered huge concessions, the local community as well. And they said to us, there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do.
And you hear that over and over again from company after company as the economy starts to get worse.
Right. Electrolux could pay $1.57 an hour in Juarez, Mexico. Other companies were trying to be competitive by going to China. They were getting pressured to lower the price of their products. The world has changed, and therefore our strategies to create jobs in America have to change too.
Is there really nothing we can do, or do you think that there is something that should be done structurally to make our employees and our locations here in this country more attractive to companies?
There's absolutely something we can do, but the point being that states alone are not equipped to compete against countries like Mexico or China or Germany. It's got to be a partnership with the federal government, states, as well as the private sector. We've got to copy what other countries are doing who are very aggressively competing in a global marketplace, places like Singapore, which have a very aggressive, comprehensive national economic strategy. They are not hands-off, which is what a lot of people who are saying get government out of the way. If government has hands off on this, then we will continue to see the loss of jobs.
Do you think the federal government is doing now what needs to be done?
Partially. I think what the president has done is to tie tax policy and the Jobs Act to job creation in America. And I think that's very smart. Every bit of policy has to have the question, will this create jobs in the United States, or will this somehow provide extra capital for a company to invest somewhere else?
How big of a role do you see manufacturing playing in America's future?
I think that advanced manufacturing absolutely must play a role in our future. It's a critical national need for a country to be able to build stuff. If we don't build things, then we are basically, you know, cutting each other's hair and teaching each other how to paint. That is not going to be a way that a nation is strong. So advanced manufacturing, the robotics, the technology associated with an advanced assembly line, the U.S. could and should focus on those issues, and especially manufacturing the means to make us energy independent, for example. We should be making that stuff here.
Jennifer Granholm, former governor of Michigan and author of A Governor's Story, The Fight for Jobs and America's Economic Future. Thanks so much for coming in.
You bet. Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down 1 to 3% across Europe this morning after a mixed day on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow jumped 143 points or 1.3% to close at 11,153. The Nasdaq dropped about 0.5%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, presenting Ken Burns' Prohibition, a look at the law that turned America lawless, starting Sunday at 8, 7 Central on PBS. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
This week, Massachusetts decided that alimony is no longer till death do us part. The state is abolishing lifetime spousal support after divorce in most cases. Kurt Nickisch reports from WBUR in Boston.
$45,000 a year. That's how much Steve Hittner was paying his ex-wife for life.
Divorce in Massachusetts, you've hit the lottery.
To make the payments, his second wife had to get a second job. It didn't make sense to him.
The idea of alimony for life was born of another age when women didn't work.
Hittner's case prompted the state legislature to reform the system. Short marriages here no longer require long payouts. Most alimony ceases at retirement now, and it also stops cold when the ex-spouse moves in with a new partner. Maria Cognetti is with the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers. She says other states are also rethinking alimony.
The economy's forced us to look at how we apply the law.
Cognetti says being out of work makes it harder for exes to pay up, and that's been exposing cases where the system could be more fair. Florida and Tennessee have already made changes. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It takes some guts to make a television show called How to Make It in America in the middle of the worst economy in 70 years.
You could kind of feel that the show would be a lot of keeping your head above water and have the spirit of that and sort of wrapping on Election Day in 2008. You kind of felt it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl on HBO, a show about surviving. Stories next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.